This is The First Time, Chirp Radio's live storytelling and music series. Every show, we invite a group of storytellers to talk about different firsts and pick a song to go with it. Recorded at Martyrs in Chicago's North Center, with songs performed by The First Time 3. Here's your host, Jen Sedini.
Up next, we have Eileen Tull. She's a theater maker, poet, one-woman show person based in Chicago. She's the founder of the Fat Theater Project, which I'm very excited to check out. You can see her short play, Helen of Troy, this weekend at Factory Theater Fight Night, and she'll be directing Funny Like an Abortion, great name, next spring. Give it up for Eileen Tull, everybody.
In high school, I was in Latin club. Sorry, I didn't mean to start off like so sexually intimidating. Sorry. Be careful, because I was co-consul. I was a proud member of the OJCL. Attended 4 conventions on a state level, 1 on the national. Calm down, oh my God. I don't even know you, oh my God. But OJCL, that stands for Ohio Junior Classical League, if you were one of those people who was having sex in high school. So the classical world, you know, that was like my jam. One of many jams that I had. And every year, my Latin club would take a spring break trip to Rome. Yeah. All expenses paid by your rich parents. Incredible deal. The difficult thing was that I had made the big mistake of not having rich parents. You know, I was young. So I never got to go to Rome. I had always wanted to go to Rome. I grew up as a TCM Nick at Night kid. Again, calm down. My God. Whew. I associated that city with glamour, with history, with epic chariot races, and with falling in love with Gregory Peck while pretending that I'm not a princess. Do you like my bob? And then there was all the cool stuff that we learned about in Latin class. I mean, like the Forum, it's still there. So cool. I tried not to take it too hard after I got left out of trip after trip because I just could not afford it. This was not the biggest issue in my life. I don't want to sound like a sort of first world problems. I mean, I've had a lot of difficulties in my life. I've had a lot of hardships. There are lots of European countries I haven't been to. It's not just Rome. After high school, I came to Chicago for college, and I was ready to see the world and really get out there and explore. I quickly developed an alcohol problem because I have a medical condition. Yeah. It's not that funny, is it? My medical condition is called being Irish Catholic. There are dozens of us. A lot more in March. I was a blacker outer, almost a professional. I loved the feeling of disappearing under the surface. I am not my problem anymore. I do not have to take care of me. I don't have to do anything that I will remember. I would run into traffic. I would go home with strangers. I would fall unconscious on public transit. And those are the good times. So I'm very grateful that that period of my life didn't last too terribly long and that I survived it. Or should I say I am surviving it? This is my first day of today being a day that I'm surviving it. Tomorrow will be another day. And the whole, besides the whole not dying thing, one thing that sobriety allowed me to do was to try traveling by myself. I had put off traveling because I was afraid that I would lose control in some way. You know, traveling is this fantasy, and what if I get so caught up in the... It's fine. We won't worry about that right now. It'll be fine. So I decide on Rome, and I decide on 2024, and it is a well-deserved week in one of the most iconic cities in the world. I have a room in the Monte neighborhood. I have an itinerary that still allows for some adventure. I have looked up how to say, "I am an alcoholic" in Italian on Google, and I don't know really any other Italian than that. I land in Rome close to midnight, and at the hotel, the person at the counter says in this beautiful Italian accent that I will not try to do now. It's very offensive. They say, "Oh, we didn't know you would get in so late. You were picked as our random customer of the day. And so we have all these coupons, vouchers for you. They're all still going to work tomorrow, but like you can get your free drink at the bar right now before you check in." Wouldn't that have been nice? You know, just like a free drink in Rome to settle in and help me go to sleep. "No, thank you, but I will take the free breakfast ticket." That's right, I'm gonna fill my pockets. I go to my room and I'm ready to unwind. There is no mini bar, but what there is a giant bottle of wine with two wine glasses and a corkscrew placed under the TV. God, wouldn't that have been nice? You know, just a whole bottle of wine all to myself to toast my arrival in my lonely but lovely hotel room in Rome. And the thought trickles through my brain, and that feeling starts to creep over me, that feeling that says, it'll be fine, it'll be nice. It'll be like slipping into a warm, familiar bath. And I shake my head like a wet dog. "No, thank you," I say aloud to no one. I drink a ton of water, and I crash into sleep. The next day is my official first day in Rome. There's a big giant wall outside the hotel that, according to Google Maps, has been around since the 6th century, and I cry in front of it. You know, history. It's right there. I wander around the Villa Borghese, Rome's Central Park, and I look at the sculptures. I walk around the Piazza del Popolo, and everything looks just like out of a movie. I'm so jet-lagged that I end up taking a nap at the hotel, and I wake up after the sunset. So it's time for my first night in Rome. I wander for a few blocks, and I get to some, and I'm looking for some genuine Italian pasta for dinner. Now, they told me I only have 8 minutes, so I cannot go through every single thing that I ate in Rome. But suffice it to say, holy fucking shit. So I find this little hole-in-the-wall restaurant, and I squeeze into a table in the corner, and I'm seated all around all these tables full of people. And these people are talking and laughing, and they're speaking Italian, and they're doing the hand thing, and they're being joyful, and they're all drinking. Which, of course, like, of course. I mean, and it's fine, you know. Here I am. It's fine. It is. But sometimes I wish I could be like other people, you know, where alcohol is something that makes the night sparkle, makes a group feel like a family. It turns the knob ever so slightly in a positive direction. But, sono abstemia. I'm different. So I try instead to daydream about the pasta dish that I had just ordered that's being prepared for me in the kitchen. I'm ignoring the groups of friends and the sets of lovers. They're all pouring from these cute little carafes of sparkling golden wine. It's not yellow, it's not white, it's golden. And suddenly the server hurriedly walks up to my table, sets a carafe down, and immediately walks away. No word, no nothing, no pasta, okay. I pick it up and I smell it. You know, it's like, maybe this is going to be like a fucking carafe of Martinelli's, maybe. I don't know. But no, it's the wine in my hand. And there's a moment, you know, there's a moment that I want it. I'm in another country all by myself. Who would know? What is the harm? You know, after 10 years of sobriety and after the fucking year I've had, I deserve it, maybe. And maybe that server knows that I deserve it. Maybe it's rude to send it away to correct her because it's not my fault, after all. Like, I didn't order it. This is fate. If fate didn't want me to drink, it wouldn't have served me a carafe of wine. And then I would be able to loosen up. You know, I would be invited to sit at one of the boisterous tables, and I would be charming and tipsy, and they would find my Midwestern American accent so sophisticated. I would venture into the night with my new Italian friends, and maybe one of them would fall in love with me next to the Trevi Fountain because, hey now, hey now. This is what dreams are made of. See, alcohol can make anything happen. And it is, it's just a moment, but it's there. And then the moment passes, and I remember that I'm not Audrey Hepburn, and I'm not Lizzie McGuire, and I'm me. And thank goodness I am. And all I want at that moment is this fucking wine off my table. I'm waiting, internally screaming. I'm like waiting and practicing, like, sono abstemio. Sono abstemio. You know? Sono abstemio. Finally, after what feels like hours, but was realistically 9 minutes, my server returns and I point at the carafe and say, sono abstemio! And she looks at me confusedly because what I did was just, you know, point at something and say, I'm an alcoholic! And she starts to take the carafe away, but the table next to me beckons because it was meant for them all along. It wasn't fate. It was a mistake of table numbers. Just that and nothing more. And I truly laugh about the whole thing because it is kind of funny that I might have ruined my whole life because of a simple error like that, because of math. It's funny in an ha-ha ancient tragedy by Sophocles kind of way. But it ultimately made me feel good. It made me feel powerful, and it made me feel strong in my sobriety, which is not something I do for anyone else. It is something I do for me. And then my pasta arrived at my table, and I felt absolutely incredible. And I had a great fucking time in Rome, stone cold sober the entire time. I can tell you all about it because I was present for every moment. Thank you.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Vella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella. When the stars make you drool just like a pasta fazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Scusami, but you see back in old Napoli, that's amore. Come on, martyrs. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. That's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. That's amore. Bells will ring, ding-a-ling-a-ting, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vida Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella, lucky fella. When the stars make you drool, just like pasta fazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Scusami, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore. That is amore.
The First Time is hosted by Jen Sedini, with production by Andy Vasoyan and executive director Bobby Evers. The podcast is edited by Andy Vasoyan, with songs performed by The First Time 3. You can find this and other Chirp podcasts and interviews at chirpradio.org/podcasts.